At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Last hour on a Monday here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Also on YouTube if you want to watch us at the Team 980. Right now, or I should say coming up in half an hour, we will hit you with some Take Man defensive breakdown review of the game, me and Logan Paulson. But coming up right now, 6 o'clock, Monday, Tell the Truth Monday, it is time for our Pick 6 at 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so on Friday, we picked six players or groups of players that we thought would have a significant impact, or we specifically thought would be worth watching on Monday, or on Friday night, and then talking about again on Monday. And I think we did a pretty good job with this group of players, Anthony Haney. You were not here for it. It was Metal Chris was hitting the buttons for you, doing a great job. So this was totally my list. So you'll have to, if there's anybody when we get to the end that you want to shout out, you can do that. But starting with
number one.
Oh, I didn't tell you to get ready. Are you ready with, did you look at the list and did you see who it is? So that you have the soundbite that you can play? Do you have your drops ready?
Oh.
There's a specific running back that I was very interested in watching. And
yep.
I think he did a good job. And that running back is?
Bill.
Yeah. Ja'Cory Kroski and Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. He crushed it. Like, obviously, the statistics are not amazing when your first run is a zero, but it's like, oh, that was an amazing zero-yard run because it should have been minus five. That's what you want. A little bit more of a mixed bag in pass protection. That's where he's going to have to prove I can be a starting, like, every down or at least legit first and second down back. He's going to, as he faces better competition, some of these, like, squirmy runs, he's going to get his clock cleaned. So he's going to have to pick his spots a little bit more. But, like, did you see the thing that everyone was excited about? Yes, I did. And it worked in a real football game where they were trying to tackle him. And that's good enough for me, Anthony.
Yeah, I thought what he, you know, put on tape was definitely pretty impressive. Again, like, we've seen the explosiveness. We've seen, you know, him take on contact, be able to play through it, also turn negative yards into something positive, or I guess zero. But still, like, this is what we've been wanting to see. And to be honest, we just want to see more.
For sure. Would love to see more. But at the same time, like, statistically, he was the worst back yards per carry wise. You know, Demetri Felton had the one long 28 yarder. So that bumps up his average. So he has 6 for 42. Chris Rodriguez, who had a couple of really bad looks to run into, not his fault. He still manages 6 for 22, 3.7 a carry. Kroski Merritt, 3.4. McNichols, 3 for 18, and just absolutely bulldozed through on the one, longer one that he had, the 9-yarder. So, like, all these guys, I think, showed that this why this running back room is like pretty strong in general. I just think when you eye test it, when you watch Bill, you see like, oh, that guy's wiggle is a little bit different. And his big play ability is probably going to be a little bit different. If you're like, who do I trust to just consistently get 4 yards? Chris Rodriguez of this non-Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson group, right? Who do I think has the best chance to get 20 yards? Bill. And I think there's something to that on the upside side of it.
Yeah, I think that was well said. I mean, this why, you know, this position group is just, you know, one of the groups that I think a lot of people are monitoring because, again, we don't know if they're going to keep 4, 3. We don't know.
Oh, yeah, I think they're going to wind up keeping 4, but we shall see.
Number two
in our pick six at 6, Benjamin Sinnott, the second-year tight end who we're kind of waiting to see to take that next leap. 3 targets, 2 catches, 10 yards. That third one, it could have been a better ball. I don't know if it could have been a better ball because it should have been like a different route in terms of like where he sits down versus continuing to go. So long story short, like the thing I like about Ben Sinnott in this game is you felt him. You felt his presence. And too many times last year, you'd get to the end of a game. You're like, Ben Sinnott played 15 snaps? And you wouldn't feel his presence at all. In this game, you at least knew he was there. He had some good shake and separation on a couple of routes. He had a couple of nice catches. He had a couple of good blocks. It's not super consistent. It's not great, but it is better. And you felt him in a way that suggests like, oh, there's some juice there. And then I'm curious to see what it is for the rest of the preseason. So, okay from Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, they're trying to, you know, give him some opportunities and see what he can do. I think he's just, I don't know, he got to make the most of him, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I don't really have too much on Ben.
I mean, it's 2 catch for 10 yards. So, there's only so much that we're talking. I think on a good way, like, I don't think he was playing super deep into the second half or anything.
No.
So, like, you know, I think that's a good sign for where he is from, like, how healthy is your spot.
Number three.
We went offense for the first three. We'll get to some defense in a second. The Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane pairing. This receiver room is real, real lacklustery. The good news for these two guys is nobody else did anything either. Lane, you know, has a couple of nice routes, but ultimately doesn't get targeted all but once. He has 0 catches for 1 yard. McCaffrey has the screen early and, you know, does a decent job to get it back to a -1, but that's his stat line, 1 catch, -1 yard on 1 target. You'd like to see those guys pop more, but it's also hard when, you know, they're only playing a limited number of snaps. You have, like, you know, some balls going to guys like, Chris Moore, who targeted him twice, has the 2 big drops. So I just, at the end of the day, you wish you felt those guys more. You want to see more of them in the preseason. Games coming up, the Baltimore and Cincinnati games, you want to hear that they had a really strong joint practice. But these are two guys that are still very much works in progress. I think feel like a lot of people feel better about Lane. Obviously, Lane did a good job in the punt return game, like catching securely, being aggressive. He only got the 1 yard game, but it's like, man, if he can make that guy slip versus most punt returners probably fair catch that. So the confidence and the ability to read it and know that how to give yourself a chance, like that's big time stuff. But as a receiver, both these guys, there's just not a lot of, there's obviously no production in this game, and then we'll see what they can do moving forward.
Yeah, I think from Lane's, looking at Lane anyway, or I guess his lack there of like reps and action against the Patriots, what if they're, you know, trying to, you know, hide him and, you know, not really put him out there? Because I was questioning, you know, why he wasn't out there a little bit more. But maybe that's what they're trying to do. Like, they want him and his impact to be a surprise as opposed to, you know, showing too much early on. Like, he's probably going to be a deep threat. He probably won't be one of those possession, you know, route running slot receivers or anything. He'll be on the outside and he'll take the top off the defense.
I mean, maybe, but I tend to think that, like, that's just kind of how the game went, right?
Oh, okay.
Like, you have, yes, there's some role stuff, some role shifting that's happening because there's no Noah, because there's no Terry, because there's no Debo. There's all that stuff. And certainly there's going to be, like, some gadget plays where Jalen Lane could be an option where, like, maybe that play is installed with Debo in mind, but, like, we got to get Jalen a touch because he's too dangerous not to. Let's put Jalen in on this gadget play. So, like, there's going to be some opportunities for him, but I don't think they're sandbagging him in the preseason. Like, he's a fourth-round pick who the offensive coordinator admitted last week he didn't fully understand what he was capable of. So they're trying to still carve out a path for him more so than, like, trying to be. Like, sometimes these guys are really smart, and I do think football coaches are paranoid as hell. But I also think sometimes we give these guys too much credit where it's like, oh, the genius, they were hiding him in the preseason. Like, no, he's a cake that's half or three quarters baked right now. He's not ready to take out of the oven, more so than I think that they're intentionally like, oh, we got a fully baked cake. We better stash it somewhere so the kids don't eat it. Like, I think that's the better cake analogy, if that was a good cake analogy.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad that my cake analogy was a piece of cake. But when we get back, we'll get to some of the defensive guys that we identified, including one who's no longer on the team. But first, the latest in the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa Chicken, how you want it at Wawa, with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Logan Paulson's thoughts on the Commanders defense coming up at 6:30 here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, we are streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. You can also watch us on YouTube Live at the Team 980. We continue rolling with our pick six at six. We identified six players that we were watching, or six groups of players that we were watching on Friday. We review them here on a Tell the Truth Monday.
Number four.
And number four, we had Dominique Hampton and Kane Medrano. Well, that was a good pick in terms of what we should be watching Anthony Haney, because that was really important to the outcome of the game. And Dominique Hampton's performance was so not good that they cut the young man. Dominique Hampton released this morning the fifth-round pick in 2024. Ultimately, my guess is they just kind of decided, like, we have this dime linebacker kind of role, this coverage type player that's also going to be playing a lot in the box. Like, and Kay Medrano's shown some real pop in that position, some real athletic, like the athleticism he has shines. And I think the biggest thing is Hampton, and I know he had a back injury last year, so I don't want to say this is like a lack of desire, but like when you talk about the play style that Dan Quinn wants, and Dan talks about the play style and how we can't just excuse this loss because of the personnel and the way the Patriots approach the game, and in terms of like they game planned a little bit and the Commanders didn't, and just be like, it's whatever. Like there's things that they do, the way they get down, to use Dan's, you know, one of his pet phrases, that Dominique Hampton just didn't seem to be able to do. Like, he just didn't arrive with the physicality and violence. And I don't know whether it's like the added weight and the position change, it's just like there's a little bit of Monstar zapping his athleticism, and it just isn't there. And it's there for Kay Medrano. And so I think they just were like, all right, well, let's just roll forward with Kay Medrano and let's give Dominique Hampton a chance to go somewhere else and try to be successful. And it wasn't perfect from Kane, but you see the want to, you see the hair on fire nature of his game. And you hope that over the next couple of years, that game matures into something that's really, really, you know, special. But for now, Hampton just got destroyed in the run game time after time, didn't bring anything really as a blitzer, didn't play the coverage in the way that they wanted. Some of the quarterback runs that got out, or, you know, he's in the area. So just, if you watch the tape, man, like, kind of understand why he got let go. And I feel bad for the young man, but like, damn, that was not good for Dominique Hampton. And it was good in its own way for Kane Medrano.
Yeah, do you think he just never truly embraced being a full-time linebacker?
I have a hard time believing that. I mean, Quinn had good things to say about him today. Of course he's going to. You never heard anything like, oh, it's not, you know, he's not doing the work. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Like, you try something, you do an experiment, and it doesn't work. In fact, if you, like, there's a thought in the scientific universe. God, I'm such a dork. There's a thought in the scientific universe that if you do not experiment enough that you are failing a lot, you are actually not really doing science. And sports is not science, but the idea is like you have to take some risks, because if you just do the thing that you know is going to work in like the science world, then like, congrats, your experiment worked. We already knew that. Like, we didn't actually make a discovery. And so if you're going to take the big swing, right, you're going to fail sometimes. Obviously, in the NFL, the more you can do you don't get bonus points for discovering something new. The goal is to win football games. So if you can find someone who can do the thing that you want with 100% certainty, you should take the sure thing. But if you're going to take a guy based off the athleticism like a Dominique Hampton and say, we think that this athletic profile is worth the swing, it's not always going to work, and you try to figure out what didn't and why, so that way you don't repeat the same mistake again the next time. But the nature of taking risk is that it's risk, that sometimes it's not going to work. And I think that's just kind of what happened with Dominique Hampton. And I think it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And I like what I saw out of Kane. He had a couple, you know, bad angles, but at the same token, like, he showed that he could shed blocks, still make the tackle. Like, again, he's a, what is he, sixth round rookie?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so I think he has the room speed, to grow and
the
develop.
Speed is electric, man. When he gets going, you're like, oh. Yeah. Like, yep. You notice 56, and that's a good thing.
Number five,
we had Tyler Owens. A little bit of a mixed bag, because he, like, overall kind of did the things he was supposed to do. He just didn't finish some plays. And, you know, I will say that feels uncharacteristic of what we think Tyler Owens is. I don't know that we've seen him play defense enough to know whether that's really uncharacteristic or not. And it's impossible to tell in training camp, because like, he arrives with seemingly violent intentions, but you don't get to follow through on said intentions when you're tackling, or you would be tackling, your own dudes. So he had some nice coverage snaps. He was aggressive to the run. He's just got to finish these plays if he's going to be that nickel, you know, that big nickel guy, you know, the same kind of role Medrano's fighting for, and you know, some other guys that are in that mix. You have to be a really good run support player. Like, you have to tackle. And you have to tackle well to play for Dan Quinn. And so we'll see if Tyler Owens can do that. but I think that there were some encouraging signs. Overall, like the safety room, like Butler played pretty well. Revo played fantastic. There's good depth there. And all those guys pretty much play special teams as well, which is kind of cool. So you have just a really good group that all does similar stuff, that's interchangeable in a lot of ways, which is a nice advantage schematically. And they feed off each other from an energy standpoint. Like, they have the special teams mindset, which is, I think, what you want in a safety in a major way. So Owens and that group in general, I think, on the back end, like the back end, played pretty well. The corner spot was definitely more hit or miss, which we'll get to in a second. But at the safety position, that's one of the positions I actually feel maybe the best about, assuming that Quan maintains a high level and Harris is what we think he is as the starters, and then the depth being strong underneath them.
Yeah, Dan Quinn actually talked about the safety group yesterday before practice, and basically when he was asked about the strongest position groups on the team, like, he went straight to safety. So he's definitely confident in the group. But I think the point that you made about finishing was, like, very important. Like, I think if Tyler Owens can show that, you know, he is reliable in that aspect, I think you can, you know, start to trust him. So,
yeah, getting that kind of athlete on the field is always a good thing. Like, find snaps for that guy.
Exactly.
If he can do it. But if he's going to get out there, run around, and miss tackles, like, you can just wait till special teams. And also, you kind of got to tackle on special teams. So early season, preseason rust, not terribly concerned. Last but not least.
Number six.
I wrote down Kevon Seymour, but he is on some level a placeholder for, like, DB 11, right? Who's the corner that emerges as good special teams player, gives them some optionality behind Lattimore, Amos, Sane Ristill, Jones, and then I kind of think Noah Igbinoghene is probably safe as five. So, like, is there a cornerback six that emerges? And Seymour's a guy that's got a history of being a good special teams player, and he's, like, this big physical guy. Well, he got hurt in the game and has actually been placed on PUP. So it's not going to be him. They have guys like Bobby Price, who now obviously your chances go up, but they also brought in two more guys. So I think it's pretty clear. Like, there were two positions that after this game, they went hard in the free agent pool. They tried out like 20-something guys, and like seven or eight of them were linebackers. They obviously signed Duke Riley. And then they also tried out a bunch of corners and signed two of them. So there's clearly room there for another corner to make this roster. They are searching for one. They would love to see another corner option emerge, even if that guy maybe starts as a practice squad guy. But last year, they had some injury issues, obviously, and some play issues last year. So they brought guys up with some regularity at that position. But I think it's another spot where Quinn wants, like, kind of a deep crew. And I think that there are definitively spots available below the bottom five, even if those are going to be practice squad spots with the possibility to be called up on game day.
Yeah, I mean, what I saw in camp, at least, I really like what I saw from Bobby Price, but in the game, I don't necessarily know if it translated all the way. Again, like, he will have more opportunities, but if I was to, you know, bet, I would say Bobby Price.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he's ahead right now, but I think the most important thing, obviously, the corner position is Trey Amos, player, looked real good.
He's
real
adult.
Good the other night, and excited to see him play this season. All right, when we get back, what did Logan Paulson see on the defensive side? You'll get the big fella's thoughts next on The Hoffman Show.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Final half hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980 on this Monday. Tomorrow, a vibe check Tuesday. We'll see how you're feeling. I think we should get Mitchell on tomorrow, too. Maybe Tischler Tuesday it up. So we got a stacked show tomorrow. A big one on Wednesday as well. So make sure you are checked in with us here on the Team 980. Take command this morning. Logan and I broke down the game. We went through everything. So if you want the full offensive breakdown, kind of some bigger picture thoughts, make sure you check out Take Command wherever you get your podcast. But we can give you the defensive thoughts from Paulson and me right now. Take Command. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. Defense. Let's talk about it, Logan. D-line to get started. Obviously, huge positive. Maybe the brightest spot of the game. Johnny Newton getting the sack fumble. We absolutely love that. But overall, this defensive line, not a lot of dudes that are going to be on the team played. I was at Cleveland Furrow being out there. Didn't have the greatest day in terms of some of the stuff. But you talked about some of the context around that earlier. Yeah. Some of those edge runs game planned up in a way that typically just don't see in the preseason. Yeah. Thanks, Vrabel. Really appreciate that. But what do you make of how the D-line got after it on Friday night?
Yeah, and real quick, I just want to give Trent Scott a shout-out, too. I thought he did a really good job playing offensive line, just to kind of throw him out there. I forgot to mention him. But for the defensive line, it was kind of an interesting watch, you know, because I think guys that I thought would play well just kind of played okay, and guys that I didn't have high expectations for played better. So, like, I actually thought Carl Davis and Sheldon Day did a pretty good job. And now they're working against the twos and the threes, but I think Big Carl had a nice day, you know, batting some passes down, sitting double teams. Sheldon Day, man, that guy just – is a ball player.
He's an animal.
Just a ball player. And so love to see that from those two guys. I thought Eddie Goldman at times flashed, but again, there's some times where not quite what I was expecting in terms of what I saw from him in Atlanta last year. Kerzon Newton, you mentioned him. I think there's times where you could feel him a little bit more. There's still times like on first and second down where it's like, hey, can we sit that double team a little bit better? Can we be a little quicker with our hands? Can we work our get off a little bit more? But then you see him on the sack fumble where that's an ET, like where the end picks for him, and his ability to turn and bend that corner, I think that's pretty high level. Him sniffing out that screen, I thought he did a great job of that. So are there areas to improve? Yeah, but in terms of flash and spark, I think you feel pretty good about him. But overall, I mean, they were kind of okay. You know what I mean? No one really separated themselves, especially on the edge. None of those guys really stood out. I thought Holmes had a solid day, but again, he didn't play a ton. I thought Jones had a decent day, but there was some times where he's out of position, not in the right spot, but he plays hard. So you feel that energy, which is kind of cool. But overall, it kind of a little disappointing, I think, with some of the guys I thought would have big days, but there were some bright spots for sure.
All right, let's talk about Dominique Hampton. Obviously, he did not have a good day.
Yes.
That is how he has now been released. And there's probably on the kind of bigger picture side of this, right? Like, you have to give credit to Adam Peters for not
saying like, I just refuse to cut a guy who's not cutting it. Trying to think of a different word that way. Yeah. I'm not saying cut twice, but I'm not going to not release a guy for a guy who's not cutting it. Right. I'm not going to hold on for my pride to a draft pick that is not playing well enough to be on the team. And, like he just had a really bad day. I think it's really tough to tell a guy like, hey, we're going to redshirt you the whole year. We're going to change your position. And after one preseason game in year two, bang, like that's gotta be an excruciating decision to make if you're Adam. So based off the tape, Logan, I guess, like what did they see where they felt like that, like this just not only didn't work, but it's not going to work. Like what did he struggle with?
Yeah. I think when you look at the Dolphins game, the Miami game last year, you saw a guy that could run, could cover space again, like was okay taking on blocks, but really understood coverage principles well and looked very confident. And here, I don't know if it's because the run philosophy was a little bit different, but man, he had a really hard time fitting runs. He had a really hard time being decisive downhill. He had a really hard time taking on blocks. Like there were multiple times where he just couldn't disengage from the offensive lineman and he ends up on the ground. You know what I mean? Like I'm talking maybe close to 8 or 9 times in this game. You know, like just had a really like rough outing. I think some of the athleticism that he showed last year seems to have waned. I know he's been negotiating a back injury since college. There are times where you see him kind of try to run. He just looks incredibly stiff and tight in his back. And so I was always a big fan of him. You know, I thought he had a pretty good spring, actually. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
And here in this game, like he just looked, unfortunately, out of his depth, which is really hard to say because, you know, this is a guy, like you said, who's committed a lot to this organization, made the position switch. You know, I thought had a very high ceiling. And again, in this game just came out and didn't live up to the billing, which is really hard to watch, you know, when you're kind of saying, yeah. Oh, maybe the next play will be better. Maybe the next play will be better. And it just, there wasn't anything like, you know, as a point of comparison, because Kane played pretty much the whole game, 56.
Yeah.
Kane's not always doing the right thing. He's not, and you can feel that. But there is an energy and a violence to the way. Like, so for example, they ran that toss crack play in the red zone. They ran it to the right first. And he absolutely, the receiver comes to crack him and he demolishes the receiver, knocks him on his butt and like dives over and tries to make the tackle. He's shooting the gap. He's on the blitzes. He's giving it, you know, kind of the 1-2. He's getting some pressures. And so you could feel that athleticism. You could feel that energy. And I think like, man, like that's a dude whose arrow is pointing up, even though I'm not sure everything's right all the time. You know what I mean? With Dominique, it was kind of the opposite. It was like you never felt him. And again, like that's disappointing because I thought that was going to be a pretty exciting addition to this team. But that's life, man. That's life in the NFL, and it's disappointing.
I also feel like they were probably looking at the reality of like, how do we get Hampton? Like, is there a future here for Medrano and Hampton?
Yeah.
And the answer was probably no. And it's like we like what we see from Kane enough that we're going to let go of the Hampton experiment. In a way, this is the nice thing to do. The earlier a guy gets cut, like the more quicker he can go find somewhere else and try to make, you know, do what he can in practice this week and play in a second preseason game this weekend for another team. Like I hope that works out for Dominique Hampton. And I hope that it's someone that believes him in the way that Adam, you know, did initially. Obviously that waned over time. But maybe someone who sees him as safety is like, hey man, why don't you lose that 10 pounds back and we're gonna put you back in the position that you grew up playing. Like who knows how it works out. Credit to Adam for not holding on for too long once he realized like what their vision was not going to work. But at the same time, that's obviously less than ideal for a fifth round pick just last year to be gone before his second season even begins. Anything else you want to say on Medrano? He's really the only other, respectfully, only other linebacker of super note based off where we are. They bring in Duke Riley. So we'll have more on him after we see him play a little bit. You did play with him in Atlanta, though. Yeah. So another former Paulson teammate and a guy that DQ knows a little bit.
Yeah.
But anything else from Medrano or the rest of the linebackers?
Yeah, I thought Medrano had good, the energy was good. There's times where I'm like, man, are you supposed to fit over the top of this? Or we should have done this? Or maybe, but like, I thought his hands usage was great. I thought he got in on some tackles. There was one play late where he's trying to punch the ball out on a cracked on a screen where I'm like, just make that tackle. We don't need to be getting cute there. But again, like that's where you say the energy, the effort, you know, allows you that you can coach that. You can coach that. Right. The other guy that I thought deserved a shout out was Kahe. I forgot how to say his name. Let me look it up real quick. It is Kahe, right, from UCLA. I thought there were times where he flashed a little bit, like taking on blocks. And again, he's not the athlete that Kane is, but
Yeah.
I think as a linebacker, right? Like that's someone that maybe give it a shot, see how it looks. And I think maybe you give him more opportunity. And then mentioning Duke Riley, like he's a guy that's played a ton of ball, special teams guy. We talked about some of that inexperience with that third group in terms of teams, the depth on teams. He's a guy that comes in and solves that problem right away. So if Dominique isn't working out, this is a really smart move in my opinion, because you give those young linebackers someone to kind of model after, watch, but also a guy who's made his career. I think this is probably year 7 or 8 for him, just playing teams and playing teams at a high level. So that, again, like there's no issue with that, the depth of that team's group. So
for sure. All right. Secondary wise, not the day that I think Tyler Owens was hoping for. Had, you know, a couple of missed tackles. You know, you feel the physicality, but also you got to finish. You know, like this is where it's not thud anymore. It's not like it's real football. And one of the things that we talked about before the game was like, how well are some of these guys going to tackle? Then you have Jeremy Reeves, who just, that guy knows how to tackle. I don't know what the hell he's supposed to do on that play that he gets flagged for.
It's
a penalty,
but it's tough.
It is, but I don't think it should be. Like the idea of why it is a penalty is smart. You're trying to protect guys' heads. It's only a penalty because the ball carrier dips his head.
Yeah.
Like Revo's head is headed to the side of the dude's hip. As the tackle is happening, the guy tries to shoulder him. They wind up making, you know, more helmet contact. Like, what is he supposed to do? He targeted it correctly. I don't think he should be punished for that.
Yeah, I mean, he did target it correctly, but again, like, that's the rule. Like, helmet-to-helmet contact, and he definitely initiated it. And again, like, sometimes, like, in order to give the refs a consistent aiming point, like, these plays that are bang-bang like that are penalties. Like, I was talking to Fletch about it. He's like, yeah, I'm a defensive guy through and through, but, like, unfortunately, the way the rule's written, that's a penalty. So I empathize with you. I empathize with Revo. Like, I actually have him on my list as like one of the guys who just played out of his freaking mind, man. He had an awesome game. Physical, downhill, tough tackles, like aggressive to the ball. Like there was a draw in the low red when they were going, the Patriots had the ball going right to left. And he like kind of beat the receiver, kind of went inside the guard, probably misfitted a little bit, but gets his hand on the foot, tackles the guy. And I'm like, that's what you want to see from defenders, right? You mentioned Tyler Owens. I think he had a better game than I thought when I watched the film, but all the stuff you said about him is true. Like, we got to finish some tackles. He had some stuff kind of in the muck and the mire. He had some good coverage stuff. But like you said, you come out of that saying like, man, we got to be a little bit more consistent than that for sure. But I think overall, when you watch down to down, you're like, actually, this is okay. It can be better for sure, but this is okay. And I think Noah Igbinoghene played his absolute face off, man. He had an awesome game. The problem is he gave him that touchdown late. So I think a lot of people,
I just feel like some of the worst things that happened to them, he was in the frame. And sometimes that's just unfortunate. Like you're just there.
Yeah.
But like on the kickoff return, he's chasing down and
the L1 or R1 on the side. So he's the safety kind of fitting in there. And like, that's to me unrealistic. Cause like you said, you know, Yankoff's getting held. There's like 10 yards. Yeah. On this
the gap
side,
is enormous. You're just like, that's unfortunate. You're the guy in the picture getting run past. And then he gives up the touchdown. And I feel like there was one or two more where you're like, oh, man. But like, I think that's kind of the one, I'm glad that it actually was better than it felt. Yeah. That's good. Like, I'm not trying to take away from that.
He covered competitively. And again, like you have one defensively, one bad play to my eye, which again, like it's going to happen. But I thought overall he deserves a shout out.
To me, that's the Noah experience, though, and like why he's a great backup.
Sure.
The thing that's consistent with him is he's going to play his absolute face off.
Yeah.
He's always going to give you effort. He's going to play with physicality. It's just sometimes that's going to result in missed tackles or, you know, missed coverages or penalties. And you hope that because he's in a backup role that you can limit the exposure and he can be a really helpful piece for you. So that's kind of the Noah experience. So I'm glad that it was more true to the Noah experience than it felt with some of those big plays. Anybody else in the secondary, for better or for worse, that you want to shout out as we wrap up here?
Anybody in the secondary, better or worse? I think Carlin Vigors had a tough day. He had a really tough day tackling specifically. I thought the coverage was okay, but I think you see some of the stuff that made him a UDFA. Like there was never any doubt about his ability to cover. It's about his willingness to tackle. And I think you saw a little bit of difficulty there. I thought Ben Nickel, you know, the number 48, the backup safety, had a pretty solid day. Like he took good angles, was good in coverage, decent on teams. Like, and again, I don't know what his ultimate ceiling is, probably a practice squad guy, but that's nice to see somebody late kind of making plays for himself. I'm trying to think who else is playing. Percy, I thought played really well, but he hurt himself early.
Less than ideal.
So,
and then if you want to give star of the game, like Trey Amos,
kid's really awesome. Well. Yeah, I mean, I forgot, but he was great. Like, he tackled well. He made a great play on a toss crack. It was the same play that Kane knocked over the receiver. It wasn't the most physical play, but got the feet tangled up. And then in coverage, man, he just seems to get it. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Whatever he's doing, the seatbelt, the lockdown.
Like, we can, yeah,
yeah. So he's doing a good job, and I want to see. And so it was good to see, you know, really all your draft picks. Connerly played pretty good. Amos played well. I thought Jakowski Merritt had a good day. I thought Lane had it wasn't in receiving, but like the special teams
overall,
was pretty solid. And then Kane, I thought, again, it wasn't perfect, but I thought he felt his juice. So I think overall,
you see why they drafted him.
Yeah. If you're feeling like, if you're looking for positives, I think those guys played well. And then like Revo, man, like that dude just played awesome. So
Revo forever. Revo forever. All right, that's our show then. We did it. We did a show. By the way, I guess we should, this technically goes in the special teams bucket, but Matt Gay, obviously the miss, that's not great. But the best kickers that are going to be available to replace him, if they need to go down that path eventually, are probably competing for spots on other rosters right now, which is something we learned last year the hard way. So while clearly Matt Gay needs to pick it back up, he was fine the first couple of weeks of camps, had a couple misses, and then not has the miss in the game. I would not freak out to think that they are ostriching with their head buried in the sand about that. And Dan Quinn even acknowledged, like, hey, after your guy misses, like, it's a fair question to ask. But they gave him a lot of money. He's definitely, they want him to be the guy. And unless he struggles the rest of camp, they're probably not going to bring anyone in. I'm sure they have a list of options, but that anything else you want to add on the kicker situation? No. Or does that cover it?
No, I think you hit that perfectly.
Yeah, they have enough other things going on that they can use the roster spots for something else, despite the fact that I have an annual plea that Tressway should not have to kick in the preseason, should not have to punt. They should always just sign a punter for the game and be like, hey, man, boot it down there. But that's a thing for another day or perhaps another year. All right, that's Logan Paulson. I'm Craig Hoffman. We'll see you later this week with more from practice and the Bengals preview and maybe some more. So that's Logan. I'm Craig. See you next time on Take Command. All right, for the full episode, including thoughts on the offense and the special team stuff, then check out Take Command wherever you get your podcasts. Let's take a quick look at what's trending and then come back and wrap up the show with real things, real people said, into real microphones. It's the Offense Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. Tomorrow, Vibe Check Tuesday, we'll check in on how you're feeling about the Commanders in the 4 o'clock hour. You can give us a call then. You know the phone number. And if you don't, tune in tomorrow. I'll tell you. Just top secret until then. Mitch Hischler, hopefully going to join us. Probably should ask him first. But we'll review the scrimmage that's apparently happening tomorrow. Quinn splitting up the team. I'm curious, like, what's the format? How's it go? Who stands out? So a chance to get the competitive juices flowing a little bit ahead of the game against Cincinnati next Monday. We can do weekend in review, Anthony, because we, you know, during football season, it's like, what else happened this weekend? We typically do the football on Monday and then we take a look, you know, peer our head out of our little football hole and say like, hey, what else is happening? We'll do that tomorrow as well. Anything else of note that you would like to highlight for tomorrow?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's get to real things. Real people said into, why am I talking like this? Real microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be served this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
That's a quick hook today, Anthony. Quick hook. All right. This one, I'm playing this because he's my friend. Two, I'm playing this because this spoke to my soul. There have been times when we have had the stream not have audio on our YouTube stream doing this radio show. However, we've never had the show not have audio in general everywhere, and sometimes it's because a button gets crossed, but like the primary way in which you consume the show is the radio, and so like that seems feasible. I cannot ever remember doing just a YouTube live stream show where all of a sudden the YouTube has no, like, it's the only way someone's watching, and there's no audio. That apparently happened to my good friend Damon Amendolara. doing a bit. Yeah.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I just did a half hour on Kansas City and it didn't go out over the air! Oh my God! Oh my God! That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm running this myself tonight. Unbelievable! Wow. Okay. Well, for those that are still here, half hour after watching me talk, thanks.
Wow. That's rough.
That's real pain. I heard and felt the pain in his voice.
Yeah. That's a real, you just feel like such a, especially when it's good. You're like, I crushed that and it's gone. There have been times I've forgotten to hit record or start the stream on this. And I'm like, oh, at least we have the audio, but like, that was so good. I was so passionate. I wish people could have seen my face. And nobody did. Nobody did.
And then there's more work for you on the back end.
Yeah. So, it just sucks for Damon. All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, and we'll turn all the mics on here on the Team 980.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.